year, at least one in four Americans is diagnosed with a heart condition. At that point, there are some very important decisions to make for your future. The harsh reality may be you are left with more questions than answers. This is where the Heart Rhythm Center podcast can help. We are your what, why, and how of palpitations, heart rhythm disorders, pacemakers, and defibrillators. Welcome your host, Dr. Jeffrey L. Williams, board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and clinical cardiac electrophysiology. The information included in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended or implied to be professional medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice. Listeners should always consult their healthcare providers to determine the appropriateness of the information for their own situation, or if they have any questions regarding medical conditions or treatment plans.
This is Dr. Williams, and welcome to What Are Palpitations, Podcast 7. What are the common ventricular or bottom chamber tachycardias? Premature ventricular contractions, PVCs, are also called ventricular premature contractions, or VPCs, or ventricular premature depolarizations, VPDs, and these are extra signals from the bottom chambers, or ventricles, that can trigger an extra heartbeat that interrupts the regular rhythm. PVCs may occur in over half of patients over 65 years of age. They are very common and generally harmless, although they may cause symptoms if they occur frequently. Studies have shown that when more than approximately 1% of heartbeats in a 24-hour period are PVCs, a person's risk of death or heart failure increases. Patients who have PVCs this frequently are often placed on medications called beta blockers, such as atenolol, metoprolol, or carvedilol. Unless a patient develops heart failure from excessive numbers of PVCs, usually more than 10,000 in a 24-hour period, the most appropriate treatment at this time is reassurance and possibly beta blocker medications. In rare circumstances, an EP study may be recommended to ablate the focus or source of the PVC. Ventricular tachycardia. Ventricular tachycardia, or VT, is an arrhythmia that occurs when the bottom chambers of the heart, the ventricles, beat very rapidly. Non-sustained VT lasts for less than 30 seconds, and sustained VT lasts for more than 30 seconds. Most people who are diagnosed with VT have underlying heart disease that is usually due to coronary artery disease. As discussed in Podcast 2, it's important for patients to know their ejection fraction, or EF. Asymptomatic non-sustained VT in patients with normal EFs, EFs greater than 55 to 60%, generally does not portend higher death rates. These patients may not require any special treatment. Patients who have symptoms of VT, sustained or non-sustained, and patients with reduced ejection fractions who have VT, are usually prescribed beta blockers. These types of patients may also have an EP study as part of their recommended treatment plan. Furthermore, calcium channel blockers, such as diltiazem or verapamil, may be used in patients who cannot tolerate beta blockers or in whom beta blockers were ineffective. VT is differentiated from arrhythmias from the upper chambers, called SVTs or supraventricular tachycardias, by a wide QRS. Please refer to Podcast 5 at the heart-rhythm-center.com for a picture that shows the QRS differences between a supraventricular tachycardia, or SVT, and ventricular tachycardia, VT. Common clinical scenario 5. A 47-year-old female with no significant past medical history presents with palpitations from non-sustained VT found on Holter monitoring. Echocardiogram, stress test, which showed normal exercise capacity but possible perfusion defect on imaging, cardiac catheterization, and cardiac MRI revealed no significant structural heart disease. She opted for medical therapy with metoprolol and did well for over a year with no recurrent symptoms. Ultimately, she presented with recurrent symptoms of palpitations and was found to have runs of ventricular tachycardia lasting 10 to 20 seconds, and her ECG suggested right ventricular outflow tract ventricular tachycardia, also called RVOT-VT. She underwent an EP study and successful ablation for RV outflow tract VT with subsequent resolution of symptoms. Non-coronary disease ventricular tachycardia. non-coronary disease VT occurs in less than 1% of patients. RV outflow tract VT and left ventricular outflow tract VT are types of ventricular tachycardias that occur in the pulmonary and aortic outflow tracts. The outflow tracts are areas where blood flows out of the heart to the lungs, the pulmonary outflow, or to the rest of the body, the aortic outflow. Both RVOT and LVOT ventricular tachycardias can be treated with medications, but are often treated with EP studies and curative ablation. It is important to talk about these options with your care providers. Arrhythmogenic right and left ventricular dysplasia, called ARVD or ALVD, are rare types of VT and can lead to sudden death. Patients with ARVD or ALVD are usually treated with both medications and defibrillators. Common clinical scenario 6. A 68-year-old male with no significant past medical history reported that he was exercising on a treadmill and noticed that his heart rate continued to be elevated 30 minutes after stopping exercise. He presented to the emergency room and was found to be in sustained ventricular tachycardia that required cardioversion to return to his normal sinus rhythm. Echocardiogram did not indicate any worrisome findings except mild right ventricular wall motion abnormality, and cardiac catheterization did not reveal any obstructive coronary disease or heart failure. His signal averaged electrocardiogram was mildly abnormal. He was placed on beta blockers, and a wearable defibrillator was recommended to allow him to obtain a cardiac MRI. My hospital at the time did not have the ability to perform cardiac MRIs. This cardiac MRI confirmed a diagnosis of arrhythmogenic RV dysplasia, or ARVD, and a defibrillator was successfully implanted to reduce his risk of sudden cardiac death. The patient was advised to no longer participate in vigorous exercise because this has been linked to progression of ARVD. What are defibrillators? The easiest rule to remember is this. Defibrillators are used to prevent the recurrence of a life-threatening ventricular arrhythmia, which is called secondary prevention, or to avoid the initial occurrence of a life-threatening ventricular arrhythmia, called primary prevention. The decision to recommend a defibrillator requires an evaluation of the duration of the heart condition and whether or not the patient has been adequately treated for it. For example, has the patient been placed on the appropriate medications and have coronary artery blockages and other reversible causes of heart failure been addressed? Also, there are some diseases that may warrant defibrillator implantation even without the presence of heart failure. These conditions include hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, long QT syndrome, and arrhythmogenic RV dysplasia. Some patients may not be candidates for defibrillators because they cannot adequately follow up on device care, or because their psychiatric conditions may be worsened by device implantations. Defibrillators are not appropriate for patients who have a life expectancy of less than 1 year. There is also a wearable, temporary defibrillator that is a temporary alternative to implantable defibrillators. Not all occurrences of ventricular tachycardia are life-threatening, and many do not require consideration of an implantable defibrillator. If you have been diagnosed with VT, it is important to discuss the type of VT and treatment options that may be available. Thanks for listening to the common ventricular or bottom chamber tachycardias. I hope you will join me for podcast 8 in this series, which covers the treatment options available for arrhythmias.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Rhythm Center. If you have enjoyed this episode and would like to access extensive explanations of topics discussed today, together with helpful illustrations, head over to www.heart-rhythm-center.com, where a full list of available publications on Amazon can be easily accessed. That's www.heart-rhythm-center.com. And please subscribe to the Heart Rhythm Center blog, as well as Dr. Williams' author page on Amazon, where his books discussing arrhythmias, pacemakers, and defibrillators are available in print and electronic Kindle versions.